what did your father tell you that he remembered about the battle?
As a boy, we computed his age between 10 and 11, closer to 10 than 11. And that particular day, not recognizing it as the calendar day today, was a warm morning, and it was a kind of a lazy, warm day, and no one was in a hurry to do anything. And he remembered that the sun was about halfway up the sky from sunrise, and they had just sat down to a morning meal. I wouldn't say breakfast, because there wasn't no such thing as breakfast and lunch and dinner. And about that time, a camp messenger, they called him a camp crier back in those days, came loping around, galloping his horse inside the camp circle, warning the warriors to catch their war ponies, because the soldiers were coming. And he said he was at that curious age where he wanted to see where the soldiers were coming from. So he ran out of the teepee, and the thing he remembered was a long line of horsemen coming along a ridge. He didn't say what direction, but he said they were repeating what he saw. Actually saw was a long line of horsemen coming along a ridge, and one of them was had a long pole or something with something on the end of it that was kind of fluttering in the breeze. Was the first sight he got of the cavalry unit that was seen was actually Custer's main command that was coming along the ridge. He sent the Major Reno down to the brush along the creek to divert attention away from the his approach. And like I said, if Reno had, his job was to run helter-skelter right through the camps and kick over, pull over poles and shoot things up to create confusion while he attacked from a different direction. But Major Reno instead, for some strange reason, dismounted his cavalrymen and had them attack on foot, which gave the warriors time to get their horses and get mounted and counterattack. That's what turned the tide of battle in favor of the Indian forces in the valley.
I'm going to go to this anniversary, right? And there's going to be people from all over the world who are coming to this anniversary, because this battle is just, it's almost like it happened yesterday. People go to see the site where this happened. There's this interest all over the world, native, non-native, everybody wants to know about this battle. Why do you think after 125 years people still have this intense interest in what happened there?
Well, I think that stems from maybe perhaps an inner feeling of government, as well as the military unit that was in the neighborhood at the time that the battle developed. It was the Indian forces were taken by complete surprise. However, the attack wasn't coordinated very well, and it changed the tide of battle in favor of the Indian. And after all these years, it's hard for them to believe, even the military forces, that an Indian group that are not supposed to know anything about battle tactics, attacks and counterattacks and strategy, had the ability to defend themselves successfully. It's hard to believe. Some blame Custer's leadership that got himself in trouble. But it was, as I said, if Reno had carried out his instructions, it would have been different. The camps would have been disrupted, and while their attention was held down in the valley, Custer would have fell across the river and attacked successfully. But when he dismounted and attacked on foot, because my father said when his mother sent him out to get a bell mare that was ground staked and bring it down along the river, the mare got away from him. He couldn't get mounted. And the horses stampeded when the firing began in the valley. And so the mayor jerked the line out of his hand, and they stampeded. And so he ran back to camp. And when he hit the camp circle, ran to his teepee, everybody was already gone. And so he came out and hollered, but no one answered. So he started to run across the camp circle, and he heard a sound, so he looked to the side, and there was a line of men, some kneeling, some laying on the ground, some standing, and they were pointing their gun at him, and he could hear the firing, and the bullets sounded like a flight of bees that were traveling. But he kept running and threw himself into a low, I would imagine buck brush, a low brush that grows generally along waterways and in gullies, and threw himself in the brush. And he said above him, through the branches, it sounded like hailstorm going through. And he couldn't believe that he was alive when he, and I would imagine about that time that the warriors counterattacked and began to drive the soldiers out of the camp. And he managed to find his way down to along the river where the men and women and children, old men, had gathered for shelter. And that's what he remembered most vividly. The other one was that the firing became more intense, and a lot of horses were hoofs. You could hear pounding hoofs as the warriors shouted, and gunfire was very intense, but it was moving away from out of the valley. And the sound began to go a little further away from where the women and children were huddled. And about that time, some of the warriors galloped back down into along the river to tell the women and the children that the tide of battle was in favor of the Indian forces. And an uncle of his grabbed him by the... He was just a boy, but his uncle grabbed him by the arm, and he must have been a strong man. He jerked him up and put him on a pony back of him, and told him, his nephew, he said, we'll join the battle, and this day you will become a man. But his mother wouldn't let him go. She cried and hung on to him, so finally, his uncle relented and let him go. And he used to say, he wondered in quiet time what would have happened if his uncle had had his way and carried him into the battle on the back of his war pony. He used to wonder and dream about it, and when he was older and in later years. And that was his remembrance of the battle, actual battle. By the time they drove Custer out of the river bottoms, Crazy Horse and Gall had swung around further downriver and got behind Custer, and he was completely surrounded. There was no way he could have survived, and that's it. That's history.